The bonus room is the only room upstairs, and of course, as soon as you get to the top of the steps, you're
bonus. It just seems so silly. Go ahead.
It is silly. It really is a dumb name.
It's the bonus. It's like the you bonus paid for room. It. Yeah. It's like surprise, bitch. An extra room.
Oh, wait, bonus house. I had no idea was here. Bonus.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay, listeners, we're going to kick it off here with a dramatic reading. And today's dramatic reading is from the movie Sharknado 2, the second one. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to introduce the players?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
The players
if
are...
If my agent heard this, I'd be out of here so fast.
The players are... Jaquetta will be playing the part of April.
Thank you.
And our guest today, Carlo DiCarlo...
Yes!
Hey!
...will be playing the part of Finn. And I will be stage director.
We'll be butching it up.
I was just going to say, I'll butch it up.
Okay, so, Sharknado 2, a dramatic reading. Interior, hospital room, day. Finn visits with his ex-wife, April, but they're really getting back together again. April is asleep, recovering from the loss of her hand, but suddenly wakes when she feels Finn staring at her.
Hey, babe.
Finn?
Hey, you're gonna be okay?
I am.
Finn nods yes, but looks like he doesn't believe it.
The shark kept chasing me, and it had this huge scar across its face, and I shot him in the eye, but it took my hand. It's like he knew who I was.
No, he didn't know you. If he did, he would have run the other way. I'm sure about that.
Why did you marry me?
Because I wasn't perfect. You didn't care. You loved me anyway.
Finn nods at her missing hand.
You're going to get past this. We're going to get past this. But next time you offer a hand... Don't be so literal about it.
The end.
Word. Really? She just pulled off her hand is missing. He's being flip
he's
about
being
it.
Flip he's
about
being flip. Because that's how they do in Sharknado yeah. 2. Oh,
and that was a dramatic reading.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks
and
so much.
And we're so excited to have CDC here in the house today. He is our Nick Cage
I am
theorist.
Thrilled to be here.
Yes, he braved through the tunnels.
The tunnels,
and he
yeah.
got here, and he is bringing us some Nick Cage updates. So what do you have?
Well, first, I have a little Sharknado tidbit.
Okay, nice.
A little Sharknado news. Apparently, Sharknado will be getting a third installment.
Okay, thank goodness.
Out.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Trifecta.
Whoa.
A three-peat.
Which is why I've been waiting. I knew they were going to do a trilogy, so I can watch all three at the same time.
Yeah, and hopefully we can. They will play them in the theater, and we'll just pay for the first one and sneak into the second one.
Well, isn't what we
and the
all
third
do?
One, yeah.
For no, it. I think they're
do that?
Well...
It's called the Dirty Double.
Yeah. Well,
or a triple.
Filthy Triple.
Terrible Triple. Yes. Filthy Four.
Yes.
So the third Sharknado will target the Feast Coast. And that's from
no.
DC to Orlando.
Oh, man. Is Hotlanta going to get chomped? I hope so.
Hotlanta's going to get...
Give my people...
Hotlanta's going to get its ass eaten.
Wow.
That's gonna
it's each, not that kind of show.
Each city is going to have its own slogan, and Atlanta's going to be like, its ass is going to be Ass-lanta.
Although Atlanta's really not really on the coast, is it?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
Sharks
matter.
Can come inland.
Hey, if they're in the clouds.
If they're in the clouds, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Let's not put limitations on it. That's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, I thought you'd
so
you'd
So a third thing. So, okay, Nicolas Cage. Now, we all love Nicolas Cage. We reported on him before. We did a whole episode on him before, so review the tape, people, if you haven't. Episodes back. I'll put a link to that as well. But CDC is back here. He's a theorist, and he's here to tell us some theories about Cage and his work.
Well, today I really have not as much theories today
okay.
as a response to his Left Behind.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Movie. Okay, so Nicolas Cage is in this newish
he's
movie.
In,
yeah, he's a now he's a behind. Christian. I understand his brother is some kind of pastor slash actor.
Pastor actor? Is that a new
he's
thing?
A pastor actor.
Yeah, he's a pactor.
He's a pactor, yeah.
He's a pactivist.
Yeah, I felt as the world leading Nick Cage theorist, I was compelled to go see Left Behind, although I really didn't.
Now, did you see the original ones with Kirk Cameron?
No.
They made three of those.
With the Kirk Cameron.
And apparently, one of the reasons behind the remakes is not enough people saw those. Now, I don't know why not enough people saw a Kirk Cameron straight-to-DVD Christian theme video. But
there's a market.
There's a huge market.
They've made a lot of money on those, but now they want to make more money.
So they want the heathen to
be bigger.
It.
Yeah. Bigger effects.
Yeah. Bigger stars.
Well,
acting.
You know.
Come on, Nick
Cage. Is the only big star in the movie.
Yeah, right. A bigger star.
There's Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson, really?
Yes.
And then there's Jordan Sparks.
And Jordan Sparks.
Who I'm never sure who she is.
And Chad Michael Murray. Those are the four.
Chad Michael Murray.
But they're, you know.
Pick a name.
But Chad Michael Murray, Jordan Sparks are like B, C list.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Leah Thompson is, used to be A list. Now A-list. She's like maybe C list.
Yeah. Oh, Leah. Okay.
I mean, I love Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
Who does? This is what she is.
Yeah.
She, in the movie, Leah Thompson plays the only adult who, that we get to know.
Okay. It's a children's film?
No, it's not a children's film. It's a Christian film.
Okay.
So it's a family film.
It's a family film.
Supposedly.
For everybody.
Allegedly.
So let's give the background of the Left Behind franchise is that there's the rapture.
The rapture
And let's
occurs.
Be clear that no one in this room makes it.
Yeah, right.
for many reasons.
The rapture is that you're the chosen person, and you are raptured. Your body is sucked up into heaven,
mm-hmm.
physically, and your clothes are left behind.
Yes.
So you go naked as the day you were born.
Yes, but that's all what's left behind is the other people
are
left behind.
Yeah.
it's just a movie of empty clothes.
My God, yes.
Spewed across.
We've talked about the rapture before, and I always imagine to be the rapture is just a fantastic shopping spree for a heathen.
That's right.
For the atheists on the go.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Someone
exactly.
who likes fashion today.
It's I don't the know. These days, there aren't many people who will be raptured. If, you know.
That's true. Yeah. So I'm guessing
even the Christians aren't very Christian.
Oh, that's right. And it's only Christians, right?
It's
so
only
my mm-hmm. Jewish neighborhood, we'd still be there.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Then all their clothes are going to be from 5 years ago.
No, we don't want that.
Because it's all like Midwest.
It'd be a lot of
Christians.
Like, yeah,
yes.
pinafore dresses. Okay.
Exactly.
So.
Well, Leah Thompson plays the mother of the daughter, like Nick Cage's, like the wife of Nick Cage, and she has a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they all left behind?
No, they're not divorced. Nick Cage is a pilot.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We're bringing in more planes into this.
He loves a plane.
Yeah.
On air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, many plane movies.
Many, many plane movies.
So he plays a pilot, and he goes off, and... you know, there's some suspected cheating.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Which is kind of the reason why he's being left behind. So,
double dicking will do it.
Yeah, and the daughter, though Christian, feels that the mother, Leah Thompson, has become too Christian.
Okay.
Know the feeling.
And,
okay.
We and we get that.
Katie
because,
and I have had that issue many a time.
Yeah. We understand that she's a true Christian because. She delivers a halcyon hazed performance of a woman who is calm and at peace, having fully surrendered herself to God.
All right.
Okay. And let's not leave out here that the family's last name is Steele.
The
and Nicolas Cage's character's name is Rayford Steele.
Nice. So he's in Cage of Steel.
Yeah. He's a ray of steel.
Yeah.
He...
All
right. The movie
yes.
is
so
Leah Thompson, of course, is raptured up.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry, when you said Leah Thompson, I thought Elizabeth Shue. But go ahead.
It was Leah Thompson.
Okay.
You know, from
Back to the Future.
Oh. So this is where Christians' careers go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Well, I don't know if she's actually a Christian.
She just needed the role.
Well, they weren't really touting this movie as a Christian movie. They were hoping that the Christians will go see
it.
Well,
Jordan Sparks...
That they were hoping everybody will go see
Jordan
it.
Right. Sparks said, and I will quote her from the article, Jordan Sparks, the American Idol winner who plays airplane passenger Shasta Carvel.
Oh, no. No.
Shasta Carvel.
Who
also known as
to write that?
Pepsi 32 flavors. And the movie told reporters she was inspired to join the cast by reading Left Behind as a teen. I remember being so affected by the thought of, wow, what if my closest friends just disappeared one day? What if they weren't here? As a kid, that's definitely very scary. You might think it's just in a book, but you know, when you read the Bible and you take those things to be truth, you know it's something that can definitely go and say, wow, this could actually happen.
Yikes. But you notice she's fantasizing about her friends all being around. She knows.
She's hanging out with the wrong crowd.
No illusions that she's being raptured. Yes. She knows better. Yes. So she plays this woman on the plane who's fleeing from her football husband with the child, but we don't know that until the child is raptured, because all the children are raptured, because children are innocent.
Even all the right. Black and the Jews?
Well, I don't know about the Jews.
Do Mormons also go up?
What about Native Americans?
They don't go into that kind of detail.
What about the children of Ham?
Well, there's a Muslim on the ship, on the airplane, who...
where he's like, fuck, wrong again?
He's like, let's all... He says, well, let's all pray to God that...
Whoever, yeah.
And
poof, he's
and
gone.
Some other guy says, well, who's God? My God, your God? So, of course...
Does a Buddhist show up be like, you know what, you're actually all Buddhists.
The guy who says, who's God, also doesn't get raptured.
Don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Is the moral of that story. Happens. Yeah.
Nor
you even
Muslim.
Have to ask.
The Muslim doesn't even ask a question. Doesn't get
so now all these people on there are all these people on the plane who are just gone and their clothes left behind, including.
No, are you kidding me?
No, there's like one of the pilots is gone.
Oh, Jesus!
Like all scattered across, all these people just disappear in like a moment.
If a Louis Vuitton bag is left behind, I'm taking it.
That's right.
Well, Jordan Sparks had fallen asleep looking out the window, and she wakes up and her daughter's gone, but her clothes are there. And
she's like, somebody's evil.
She's freaking out. Who took my daughter?
And took her, left her clothes.
That's another movie with Nicolas Cage where he finds a daughter.
Who took my daughter? And she even, like, she somehow gets her hands on the air marshal's gun because the air marshal is a good man.
Mm-hmm. Like in Sharknado. Yeah. These guys are just waving their pieces around.
No, he does. He's gone.
Oh, he's
so
gone.
His piece is just laying there. So she grabs a gun and she's pointing like, who took my husband? Who got bought by my husband?
And the Muslim was like, bitch, that's why you didn't get taken out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is what you do.
Yeah.
So look at
but
yourself.
But what made me laugh is you see all these other people have gone. They're all gone and their clothes left behind. But you think someone took your daughter out of her clothes and disappeared with her?
Oh, my God.
So really,
oh
this is
God.
A story about fashion.
It's like, I mean, it just, there's no sense. Yeah. No sense in the character.
Right.
I have some, oh, and then the other thing is the daughter, Nick Cage's daughter, mm-hmm. who saves the day at the end.
Oh.
Who also got left behind.
Does she?
She got left behind too. Nick and the daughter get left behind.
Leah Thompson is sucked up, right?
Well, she's gone.
All
right. There's a short role for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the daughter is at the mall with her brother.
Well, that's why they get left behind.
She's like looking for him.
Well,
and she finds him, and she's hugging him because she thought he was gone.
Oh.
She thought he was no, not that he was raptured, but she thought she lost him because in the crowd, and she was nervous. And she's hugging him, and all of a sudden, he's gone. But she's hugging his clothes.
Oh, so it was a late rapture.
So she no.
It happens all at the same time.
She just lost him in the crowd.
Okay. This sounds like the cheapest CG. Like I'm imagining one of these jump cuts where it's like you're hugging someone, and it's like. Cut, and then something in the background has changed because they don't have continuity.
Right.
It's just hugging clothes.
But then she spends the next 20 minutes running around searching for her naked brother.
Aww. He's got to be here somewhere.
And she runs home.
Heathens.
You know, I mean, are you an idiot? You see all these piles of clothes everywhere. And
it's
you think
clearly
that you're...
the rapture.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, they're all Christians. She's a Christian.
She knows.
But
she's
she knows what the rapture is.
Yeah.
And
oh.
It takes Nick Cage 3/4 of the movie to figure out that it's the rapture.
What kind of Christians are they?
I don't know.
It's interesting because in the rapture, not that many people disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically a lot of really religious people that we don't know are now gone. Are we going to notice? It will probably take me a long time
before I could find
someone who is really, really religious, who's not Jewish, who's not, you know what I mean, who's not of a different faith, who would be raptured. I think I would probably lose like 2 friends.
The population of New York would remain the same.
Probably, yeah. Most of Manhattan would probably still be here.
Including the people in the subway.
Yes.
Handing out the pamphlets.
Yes.
because
how funny would that be? That would be my movie. The raptures happen, and the Jehovah's Witnesses are still like, "Are you kidding me? Again? Again?"
That's what happens.
And then the Hare Krishnas.
That's what happens when you knock on people's doors.
The Hare Krishnas are like, "See, we tried to tell you."
Except
like not we're not right either, but you're also not right. So
no one's right.
At least we have music. At least we had music. So I mean, all right. So this is what the guy who made the film said. In an exclusive interview, the producer and writer for both Left Behind projects said that, you know, he was disappointed. We did three movies back in the early 2000s starring Kirk Cameron. They were extremely successful, but didn't really fulfill my dream as a filmmaker, which is probably to make a Hollywood blockbuster, an evil Hollywood. I added that myself.
Yes.
I found the Bible prophecy to be a great way to reach other people who may not necessarily be open to evangelism. So we're excited about it. I wanted to put the Bible prophecy on the big screen rather than just on videos. I don't see how that matters. To put the message of the Bible in front of a broader audience and not just churchgoers. Here's the thing. And he also says that we're not going to know what this movie. If you're not interested in the philosophy behind these movies, you're just going to see another crazy-ass movie. It's like Battlefield Earth.
Right.
Except, I'm not going to get it.
Right. Except that it was poorly written and dialogue was awful.
Why did they have to do it like that?
Because
the Bible is well written and exciting. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
It can be exciting.
It can be exciting if it's, you know, if it's condensed.
If you pick
some of the good parts.
Where is
it's editing? That's what the Bible
means. I'm trying to say we need to do Lot's wife.
Oh, right.
That's the best. Who wouldn't want to play Lot's wife?
That's exactly. Right. We all like a salty story.
Yeah. We all like a tearjerker.
Don't look back. I remember as a kid hearing that story. I'm like, she's going to look back.
It's my favorite every time. I'm like, she's going to, she looked back.
And the true story behind it, but the intention behind it is not to look to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Look to the future.
Just leave your...
I just want to see, I don't know, somebody turned a pillar of salt, that's all. And also, who doesn't want to see Sodom and Gomorrah? Where's that movie?
Yeah, right.
Where everyone can cheer. And then boo at the end when the walls come down.
The two are...
Yeah, let's put them together.
They go together. Well, because I mean, they are together.
Yeah. You gotta...
Lot's wife looks back to Sodom and Gomorrah.
But you gotta tease these things out.
Yeah.
You got two movies here, is what I'm saying, people.
Right, it's the coming, and then it's the going.
And the going.
Where is the nightclub Sodom and Gomorrah in New York?
That's in Lower Manhattan. I think it's in Chelsea. Or maybe just closed recently.
Look, I don't know.
All right.
I think Bill Hader knows.
So, speaking of gay hotspots.
Oh, wait. I have some interesting...
you do?
I have some interesting quotes.
Oh!
About the...
About... Bring them on.
Some reviews of the movie.
Okay. And then I also want to ask you some theories of another movie that's just coming out. Go ahead.
This is one from John Hager Ministries. Left Behind will cause everyone who sees it to ask the all-important and eternal question.
Why was this film made?
Am I ready to go? Yes. Where's the nearest exit?
Is that what he said?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But he said, am I ready to go?
I mean, like, millions of people who have never thought of this before, like, am I ready, is my soul, if I have a soul, is it ready to go into the next wherever? Yeah. Never thought of this until the movie.
Yeah.
Fan Michelle Walking with Jesus Barton says,
huh?
Just got home from looking at it.
Wait, say it again.
Just got home from looking at it.
That's it?
It was great.
Okay.
Just got home from looking at it.
How do you feel about the movie? Well, I just saw it.
Right. I just got home from looking at
it. Yes.
That's more to the point.
Yeah.
Another is, moral of the story is don't get left behind. Really? It's getting right to the point.
Is that the takeaway?
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
That should be the title.
And then,
don't get left behind.
Karen Kingsbury, who is a New York Times bestselling author, says this is a very important movie about real life events.
No.
Well, they're not about real life events if they haven't happened.
Yeah. Well, I was reading in that article that they were like, well, it is the truth. It's real. It just hasn't happened yet. I'm like, I'll wait.
Well, then it's not real.
Yeah, I'll wait.
It's not real event if it hasn't really happened as an event.
Well.
Okay. Well, I did a little research behind. What's Karen Kingsbury? She writes.
Was it left behind her or just behind her?
Her brain's up. She writes Christian romance with suggestive titles that may or may not be marketed to the hormone raging teen demographic.
Is it He Rose?
Well, there's her first set is from the Foreplay trilogy. The titles are Real, The Chance, Shades of Blue.
No, Shades of Blue.
And and Unlocked.
Wow.
Then she has, these are a few real titles, real name titles, from her Score series.
No, get out.
15 Minutes.
In the champagne time.
Especially for teens.
Yeah.
Let Me Hold You Longer.
Yeah.
Halfway to Forever.
What?
And Take Two.
Not Sharknado 2.
Yes. No, just that's Take Two in your
and
mouth.
Then finally... yes. There's the Walk of Shame collection.
Get out.
With titles
oh, you
Final Vows, Leaving, and Finding Pride.
You made those up.
No, these are real titles.
The Walk of Shame.
The Final Vows is there's a girl on the cover. She's standing in front of a convent with a baby bump emerging from
that's left house. Behind. Boom.
That's I made. But the titles are all real titles.
I would say for mine would be The Walk of Shame, it would be a girl holding her underwear.
Just like
yes.
in bunched her up or like hanging.
Right. No, just like bunched casually. Like,
it's like hanging off.
It's like Carrie Bradshaw with the shoes, except it's underwear.
It's underwear.
Right.
The
right.
Walk of Shame series. I never.
And the hair is all messed up. Like the back of the head is flat.
I'm reading a book right now that deals with religion and teenagers, and I never understand in religion why getting pregnant is the shame.
Yeah,
it's like, always. The shame
proof.
Is how, it's but the shame is how people react to it.
Exactly. Proof that you
right?
did it.
Yeah, yeah, that's proof. The shame. The shame is how people react. Like, I can't believe that they had a natural biological like
a function, in
function,
their body.
And it happened. So I want to bring this to you, and maybe you can give me some theories on it.
Okay.
There's another film coming out called Dying of the Light.
Dying of the
this
Light.
This is starring Nicolas Cage and Paul Schrader, who is the director of this film, and Nicolas Cage are both non-verbally protesting the loss of creative control for Dying of the Light. Paul Schrader is not new to controversy. He also produced the prequel to The Exorcist.
Ew.
And he got shut down. They remade it with Rennie Harlan, who is like just a horrible director. They used Stellan Skarsgård for both films.
Okay.
That film bombed, and then he was like, ha! He's always had creative differences with everyone he's ever worked with. So they both of them are in a kerfuffle, it says here, over loss of creative control. Dying of the Light, the new film he wrote and directed. It stars Nicolas Cage, Anton Yelchin.
Who?
I know he plays Chekhov in Star Trek.
Yeah,
okay.
he's
actually a really good actor.
Along with executive producer Nicholas Windig Refn, they rallied behind Schrader, offering nonverbal protests after the film's trailer was released. So their nonverbal protests is they wore T-shirts on Facebook, saying that they were not there. No publicity issued by the artist or lender, whether personal publicity or otherwise, shall contain derogatory mention of the company, the picture, or the services. So they signed away their rights to like say
to
this
say
film's
anything
a piece
or write
of
anything.
Shit.
But they had not to wear clothing.
They had done it anyway. Okay. So basically, I watched the trailer for this. Nicolas Cage looks older than he's ever looked. And it's the story of a man who is a CIA agent who has like a brain tumor or something.
Oh.
And he goes rogue trying to track down a terrorist that he had a spat with years earlier. Mm-hmm. And he has a limited amount of time before his brain functions start to shut down, before he can get this terrorist who maybe exists, maybe doesn't exist. And the terrorist is like, you know, your basic amorphous Muslim kind of guy. So basically, they made this movie, and it's a POS, and now they're trying to say the reason why it's a POS is not because it's a crappy story and Nicolas Cage is in it, but because it was cut inappropriately by the studio, the way they mixed it together. So keep an eye on that. I watched the trailer. It's not our fault.
No.
It's the studio's fault.
Sure.
I watched
sometimes
the trailer.
It is.
And it looks really, really bad. So bad that I don't think there's any way that you could have treated this to make it look good.
Yeah, well.
I think what this movie possibly needs is maybe a match and some kerosene.
Yeah. The celluloid will go up like...
Yeah.
Like a flame.
Like a flame.
It'll go up quickly.
And then everything will be okay. You don't have to worry about any of this.
And none of it will be left
but
behind.
But just the title, Dying of the Light, it's like, huh? Who?
I know. I mean, it
there's
sounds like...
There's a plane involved.
Of course.
Just so you know.
Of course.
And it sounds like Nicolas Cage is, Nicolas Cage is losing his mind a little bit. I think it's reflecting his real life.
Mm-hmm.
He's losing his mind a little bit in real life.
He's left behind ain't gonna work.
No. I know he's trying to pay bills.
Oh, is this the
way? He's got his property taxes that he's behind on.
Sorry, I'm a phlegm fatale.
But there's really no excuse for
this type of work.
Wow.
Do you think they're going to keep making Left Behind?
Yes. Oh, it's going to have a huge audience. Doesn't matter.
I don't know. Well, I mean,
did the ending leave it open?
They don't require.
Oh, yeah.
Writing.
Well,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because it only ends right after it ends, like within hours of everyone being raptured. So, I think it ends.
Also, they don't even start with the rapture. The opening scene, in my mind, should be the rapture.
The rapture happens about a third of the way through the movie.
Oh my God.
But the movie takes place right almost in real time. I mean, not in real time, because it's only like an hour and 45 minutes.
I really think
it takes place within one day. So there are Nick Cage is on flying the plane, mm-hmm. with people missing, and like a plane is coming at them that like have no pilots.
I see.
So
a lot of Christians fly off,
and then, you know, he like... They nicks their wing because, you know, from miles away. And, you know, the planes, when you're flying in a plane, if the planes are coming different, they have a red light and a green light? Red light on one side and green light on the other, just like ships do. Mm-hmm. And you're always supposed to stay to, I think, the right of the light. It's like the right of the red.
If he's a pilot,
he sees a light, move over to the right. You're not going to hit the plane.
This is why we need to fly like Air Muslim.
You see, and this is the reason why...
So like, another thing I didn't believe in the movie.
This is why the Christians shouldn't be Christian, because they're going to cause havoc when they're all...
basically means that if you are a true believer, you should not be driving a plane, a train, an automobile, to quote the film. Or anything like that.
Right, exactly.
That's interesting.
So, you know, it hasn't done really well in the theater. I think
it's out?
Oh, yeah, it's out.
Oh, okay.
Whoops. Exactly.
This is the most coverage it's gotten.
Is it really? It's
I think it was the budget was $12 million. It might have made $16
million. Hey, that's not bad. First of all, how do you make a movie for that little?
You can.
That's amazing.
No script.
Oh, that's right. It's just clothing.
Yeah.
The props masters must have been out of their minds for this one.
Right. That's where he put all the money was in the prop masters.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe it was a $12 million budget, but maybe
they're just saying
a lot of people were paying. Maybe they were all paying, like, all back end.
3.5.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Nicolas Cage, does he get that little purse? Because sometimes, like,
maybe it was a labor of love.
But $12 million is a salary for, like, Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
You know?
So he probably was doing it to scale just because he was going to put it
in
front of
people. His brother came to him and said, Nicky, and I quote, you got to do this film.
So?
And he said, I'm doing it for my brother.
Right. Yeah, so
his
he
tasked his pactivist.
Right.
The pastor.
All right.
He's still got National Treasure 3.
Okay, so he's going to be fine.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Got a segment here.
All right, what do you got?
We got advice on advice.
Oh, we have some advice on advice. This is a segment where we find advice that's on the internet that's frankly unqualified. We think it stinks and we improve upon it by giving advice on that advice. Hence, hashtag advice on advice.
Advice. Okay.
Who's this from?
This is from Dear Prudence.
Oh.
Dear Prudence. Okay. The question is, I work for a small family-run business and all the employees are very close. Almost no one brings their lunch and we don't make coffee in the office.
What?
Whenever someone leaves to get a coffee, a drink, or snacks from the shops nearby, they ask if anyone wants anything, and inevitably that person ends up paying for all the drinks.
I would just slip out.
Yeah, the next day, it is something different. We all have to figure out what goes around, comes around lately. However, I've been strapped for cash, and I've been buying only for myself.
That's for a raise.
Yeah, this afternoon, when a coworker found out I was going out to a food truck, he gave me money to buy him something. And when I came back, everyone was upset that I haven't offered to pick up something for them. What do I do to make sure I'm immediately reimbursed in cash for purchases and not in Gatorade and Fritos down the line?
Ooh.
So you've got to put out money and not expect,
anything. That sounds like a family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bunch of freeloaders to me.
Well, a family.
Right. So it's just like, whatever. I'm going out. Anyone want chips?
So, like, basically, I'm going out, and it's like, I'm getting Dom Perignon, and then I get back, everyone's like, here's some Pepsis.
Right. Okay. The next day, they're like, what? It's the same, because each day we get something.
Fritos? Where are they?
Yeah.
They're around.
Fritos. And the advice is, Dear Broke, because it was signed Broke.
Okay.
Got to mention.
Broke ass.
This system sounds highly annoying if every trip to get a bag of chips turns you into a caterer. But shifting office culture is a difficult thing, then you likely can't do it alone. So your best hope is to make a rueful announcement that you are on a debt reduction plan and you're cutting back on all purchases.
Really? Like, so basically I'm like, hey, brother, can you give me like a cappuccino? You're like, look,
I'm on
a Ronnie Deutsch like tax debt reduction plan. I have this spreadsheet. I can't.
Yeah, and you have to start, for the time being, you have to bring in your own lunch and drinks and pointedly decline when people say, can I get you anything? If you're desperate for a caffeine fix, just say you're going out for a walk and gulp your drink outside on the sly. Maybe you can float the idea to the powers that that be, that efficiency would be. And I didn't print the rest.
I don't. Well, so, I don't know about this one because I feel like it's true. Office culture is hard to change. Mm-hmm. I would just look for another job. These people sound very annoying, and I'm sure this is just the tip of the snack iceberg.
Oh, I bet it is, too.
You know?
It's, and that you would have to say your... This is bad advice. I'm on a debt... It's like...
To everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Sorry to disturb you.
But at this time, I don't have enough for lunch. You know, that's what it's like. It's like, no, you don't have to do that at all.
Well, I mean, right, I agree. I don't think you need to make a general announcement to the entire company. You just need to change what you're doing, which is start bringing your shit.
Yeah, start bringing in your own stuff. Yeah.
And when somebody asks you if you need anything, no, thank you, I have everything I need.
Mm-hmm. So
when
it's
you
true,
go out, don't
though,
announce you're going out.
Just slip out. But don't get caught drinking like a mocha cappuccino that's like $8 outside.
Or no, but even if you do, if you go out and say, oh, you know what, I wasn't intending, I was running an errand and last minute I decided to get something. No.
But this is a family, remember?
Yeah.
They're not going to let you get away with that.
Yeah. Family-run business, so all the employees are very close.
Yes, except for him.
But it doesn't mean... Well, it doesn't say how many people are family.
That's true.
It could be the owners. You know.
Yeah, it could just be the owners.
Oh,
and they create a family environment.
Right.
And what happens is sometimes people who have been working there for many, many years, they all create this dysfunctional...
That sounds like a nightmare to me. I'm not a family-oriented person. I can't imagine working in a family-oriented environment. Mm-hmm. I'm like every man for himself.
No, you can't do this. I mean, I think this sounds like crazy in any office.
But you
all
shouldn't have to explain yourself, I feel like. Right?
You shouldn't have to.
And also, too, like, maybe you do need to ask for a raise. Because if you don't have any money and you're working at this company, like, it's kind of, you know, on them.
And you don't have time to go. Like, I'm going to take your orders and go and get it. And here's
if I want to be a waitress, I'd go to the restaurant and be a waitress.
That's what you would say. What do I look like up in this mug? I'm going
Where's my tip?
Yes.
I got a tip for you. Yeah. Pay for your own.
But we all know that whenever you do anything and you collect money, you always get screwed.
Yeah.
The person who's collecting the money, there's inevitably somebody is always like, you know, they order something that's like crazy and they're like, here's a buck. And you're like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
And make it work. Make it work. I like that one.
Or the other option is cash up front.
Cash up front.
Right? Cash up front?
Yeah.
Or spreadsheet.
I say, bring a knife. Just casually pick your nails with it and be like, what? You don't have the cash for it today?
Everybody knows how much a coffee is.
So I have something rather shocking here that I've brought
in.
What is
this?
This was sent to us by one of our listeners, Eric. And apparently it's a big problem in China. There's a concubine culture that has been around for a long time.
Oh, so well, sure.
You've had the same with mistresses. And in the past, like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, a Chinese woman would pick out the mistress for her husband. This was an accepted thing. But this is, you know, modern day and it's not
so
accepted.
Would you want your spouse to pick out your mistress or mistress?
I would pick out a terrible mistress and be like, this is what you have to work with. I'm sorry. You didn't say anything about a mustache on a woman.
Right. You didn't say
unless,
anything
of course,
about
the husband is ugly, in which case... I get a beautiful mistress, so I would never have to
deal with it. If you have an unskilled husband or an unsightly husband.
Right, or like get a mistress with braces if you want to keep him
sketchy. A mistress with braces.
Hey.
Okay,
sounds painful to me.
So there's apparently the women of China, the wives of China, ain't having it anymore.
Okay.
And so it says Lin Yao Li.
Who?
Lin Yao Li, 38, was ambushed.
I didn't get that.
Sarah Lee was ambushed by four women as she walked home in Puyang. The women punched her, threw her to the ground, ripped off all of her clothes, and began to beat her about the breasts and groin.
Whoa.
People passing by did nothing because it was understood that she was a mistress.
Well.
And the wives weren't having anymore. So apparently there's been, and I saw the video, like they literally stripped this woman in the streets.
Talk about a First Wives Club.
Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
And no one did anything. That passersby said, well, this is a crime of the heart, an affair of the heart. We're not getting involved. It is only the latest in a number of similar incidents in which it seems there is a placid acceptance in Chinese society of such humiliation, as long as the victim is seen as deserving and having caused a man to cheat on his partner.
Wow.
So wives are fighting back.
Wow.
I think wives should be fighting back the husbands.
Well, I'm saying if these women strip this woman and beat her in the street, we don't know what's happening to the husband. That is not being reported, because no man is probably going to report
like,
that.
Yeah,
because you think after, like, I mean, I've never been in a fight, but I've seen plenty of fights. People get all worked up. You think these women just calmly went back to drinking tea and playing Mahjong afterwards? They probably went on a rampage.
Right. You get very worked up.
They get very worked up. I just think it's so bizarre.
You've never been in a fight?
Rice bricks are thrown.
Right. Rice bricks. Tea was upended.
Exactly.
And if you see the women who did it, they just look like the nicest regular ass women.
Well, that's, everybody looks nice.
But the mistress was hot.
Oh.
So it's like...
Well, I should hope so.
And I think the moral of the story is, if you're in Puyang, ladies, stay away from other women's husbands.
Yeah, no
what
problem.
I want to know is...
It's not in Guangdong for once, usually.
After the ambulance went and took this woman away, the naked woman away, and the next passerby comes along and sees a pile of clothes on the ground...
Rapture.
Do they think this... Did they think they were left behind?
Mistresses are going straight to heaven.
What is this, Puyang?
It's a Puyang. So if you're in Puyang.
Keep out your Putang.
Yes.
Keep your Puyang. Yes. Your Putang.
Yes.
Out of your Puyang.
Yes. Just keep an eye on it, mistresses. Just be cool. Because I always say this to people. If you're going to cheat, be careful. Because you don't know if there's a crazy ass white back there who's like, you know what? I've been waiting to strip a bitch naked in Puyang in the streets.
And I have every right now.
Yep. And I got my three friends who I play Mahjong with.
And they're mad.
And they're going to come right by. And no one's going to do anything. They're just going to come and be like, she's a mistress. And everyone's going to be like, go ahead, proceed.
Yeah.
Proceed.
She asked for it.
They take a towel full of Mahjong tiles and start beating her up.
And what happened? All right, what do you have?
We have Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, this is a segment where we find tales of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories,
myth,
and we retell them here around the digital campfire, so gather around.
Gather around, listeners. This one is called Shadow by My Bed.
Ew. This is going to go into a weird place, isn't it?
By the Dark Night.
So.
Okay.
This is a more recent story I'd like to post here and see what you guys think.
Okay.
I have other stories from the past that will be posting at later times. Just a little background.
Thank you for that. Now I feel like I'm glad I gathered quickly.
I have identical twin girls.
Okay.
That were born 1 year old. That will be 1 year old in a few days. My parents had just built a new house around the time they were born. My wife and I moved out of an apartment into my parents' bonus room. Not too long after they were born.
In the suburbs. Then I said shit like bonus room.
Right.
Where's the bonus? It's just another room.
The bonus room is the big room above the attic that can be either another... above the garage, excuse me.
Or attic. It could be the attic.
It could be the attic.
It's just an attic.
It could be an attic, a storage space, or you can make it into something else. Now, a bonus room, typically in the suburbs where I come from, turns into like the party room. They make it into a bar because nobody can drive around.
Mm-hmm.
To bars.
And then people come at you like, bonus!
Bonus room. Okay. The bonus room is, but they turned it into a bedroom.
Yawn. Bonus!
Okay. The bonus room is the only room upstairs, and of course, as soon as you get to the top of the steps, you're
bonus! Up. It just seems so silly.
Go ahead. It
really is a dumb name.
It's the bonus. It's like, the you bonus pay for room. It. Yeah. It's like, surprise, bitch! An extra room.
Oh, wait, bonus house, I had no idea it was here. Bonus!
All right. Please proceed.
So far, the story is very scary.
Yeah. The other background people. I know one of you left. Emotionally. Okay.
I have been working a night shift recently, so I usually sleep from 7 a.m. till about 2 or 3 p.m.
Great. Is there a monster? Is it people like to be?
Okay.
At the end, it's like, oh, by the way.
By the way, rip my heart out.
From BT Dubs.
About 3 months ago, I woke up to my wife screaming at the door of the bonus room. She had the...
Bonus! Bonus! Bonus!
She had the babies in one of... one of the spare rooms downstairs. While I slept, but came up to... to the, came up to the
extra room.
Yes, to get a few toys for the for them. She said as soon as she made her way up the stairs, she saw a shadow of a boy about 4 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing at our bed looking at me, but ran into the wall.
Oh, God.
As soon as she was halfway up the steps.
He left his shadow glasses at home, clearly.
I kind of shrugged it off and went back to sleep.
Really? Okay.
About a week after that, she was in the kitchen and heard a woman's voice whisper her name in her ear.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, she came running and was crying hysterically. I told her it was her imagination and don't worry about it. Wow, what a lackadaisical.
What an asshole, yeah.
About 2 weeks later, I was off work and we just had put the babies to bed. My wife stayed in the room to lay down and I went downstairs to watch television.
Mm-hmm.
I walked through the kitchen.
You know how this marriage is going. Everyone's in a different room. Yeah. Bonus. Right?
I walked through the kitchen into the living room. My parents' bedroom is connected to the living room.
What?
What kind of house is this?
I don't know. That's like the not bonus room.
Their door was open on the way. The way they have their bed, you could see into the living room. The lights.
None of that is good.
No. All the lights were off in the kitchen and the living room except the night light in the kitchen. Jesus Christ. After sitting in the living room for a few minutes, my mom came in and we started talking.
Mm-hmm.
Then she asked me where my wife was and I told her she's laying down upstairs. She said she saw two shadows walk into the living room and thought my wife was behind me. I'm 6'2", so she could tell the first one walking in, but the second one was around 5'6".
Okay.
So the same as my
this
wife.
Mom is good, right? Did they have like that tape by the door?
I know,
like
right?
In a bodega.
Yeah, right.
5'6", okay.
About a week ago, I was sleeping upstairs in my bed again. My wife was coming up the stairs. She said she saw the 4 foot shadow by the bed again. This time, as soon as she saw it, she just turned around and walked back downstairs. It's like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Peace.
I thanked her for leaving me alone with it by the bed, sarcastically. After she told me.
What an asshole.
Nice marriage.
Right? Yeah, all right.
It's going downhill fast. They're with their parents.
Yeah.
They got the bonus room.
Yep. They got these freaky twin kids.
And they have sleeping schedules all awry. Okay. I have not seen anything in this house or anywhere for the matter. Any thoughts on why the shadow is standing by the bed while I sleep?
I don't know. You should haunt it.
Like. Here are some of the comments. It seems really scary, but I think if you just give it an acknowledgement to the spirit that you know it's there and don't ignore it, but don't allow it to take over your lives or anything crazy like that.
No, if you acknowledge these things, they just get stronger.
Right.
You know?
No, because like they will make you think that they're nothing and you're like, fine, you could stay as long as you don't bother me, but as soon as you say stay, then it's like
it turns into something
else.
Here's my opinion. Well, are we done with the comments?
Well, you can interject. Yeah.
Well, my opinion is that the wife and the mother just have, like, eye floaters, and they're not seeing any shadows whatsoever.
Yeah. It's
and
not
it's in their imagination.
Here's what I have. It's not shadow people, because shadow people are fleeting. They don't hang about.
Yeah, and they don't run into the wall. Like,
they don't run
they
into
don't
the
stare,
wall.
They don't stare, too. Shadow people don't stare at the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
I think it could be a
could
floater.
Could be a demon.
Could be a
or
demon.
A floater. Either one. It could be an ocular issue. Or it could be paranormal.
It doesn't sound scary enough to be anything but an ocular issue.
I want to know why the grandparents have the door to their bedroom open and they're in bed.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? Let's talk about that.
I think the scariest thing is that...
There's marriage troubles in that area, too.
I think, the scariest thing is everybody's relationship problems. They're all living in one house.
Well, nobody seems to be in the same room unless they're going in transit from one place to another.
It's your time to be in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm going down to watch TV.
I don't
like ghosts only like to come about when there's a single person. So, I mean, maybe there's a ghost. Maybe there's a spirit.
It could be.
Basically.
Or that it could be that eye problem that you spoke about earlier.
Or it could be the eye problem.
And there, another commenter has two theories, which they will share now.
Okay.
Number one, we are in what we consider the here and now. Most of us are unable to see into other realms.
Mm-hmm.
So only occasionally can any of us catch sight of spirits that exist and occupy our space and time. Many have gone before us, and we will seem to those that will come after we appear as gone. Does that make sense?
Are they the ghosts?
It's like a ghost. They think that we're the ghosts. Okay.
Oh, I thought that was one of the, like, this guy's like, look, sometimes you guys can see me. Sometimes you can't.
Oh, that's like that Nicole Kidman movie.
Right.
Oh, the others.
The others.
Like, oh, I'm so scared.
Which was good.
Was good. Good for her for being in a good movie.
Yeah.
All right, I have some unpopular technology.
Oh,
if I will. Katie and I are afraid of the coming robo-apocalypse.
Carla, are you afraid of it?
No, I embrace it.
You embrace it? Okay, yes. So maybe you'll like this one. Who knows? This is, Thai food is delicious, but Thai officials have a problem with it not being delicious enough. So they have spent $1 million to create a Thai food tasting robot to make sure that Thai restaurants across the globe are presenting authentic Thai food.
No.
So they spent $1 million on the committee. The committee's called Thai Delicious. But only 100,000 of them went to the robot. I'm guessing the rest went to, like, food outings and parties.
Wow.
So the robot is called the E-Delicious Machine.
Okay.
It uses 10 sensors to measure chemical signatures in food. Remember we talked about the mechanical tongue?
Yes.
That could taste wine.
Yes.
This is for Thai food. It isn't stated how many dishes it's prepared to analyze. And the authenticity of each dish is determined by comparing dishes to the collective taste of local testers. So they go to different villages in Thailand. They have them taste food, and then they have the robot taste this food as well.
Okay.
They had 120 taste testers and at a university rate how good the different preparations were. And so basically what they're going to do is at $18,000 a piece, the E-Delicious machine is going to be sold to Thai embassies around the world. And those embassies are going to hit the streets and just randomly bust up into Thai food places and taste their food using this machine. And then there'll be some kind of a rating. Now, I like this because I've often wondered when I have Asian food, like, is this, like, do you guys really have broccoli over there?
Like, you would think that broccoli is, wait. Oh, you mean the original dish.
Yes. Yeah. Like, whenever I have Asian food, I'm always thinking, like, is this legitimate? And then I told you that one time I got a cab ride home from a guy who was Indian. Mm-hmm. And fiercely Indian. That was like all he talked about the whole time. So when he was dropping me off in my neighborhood, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, there's a really good Indian restaurant.
What do you mean he was talking? That's all he talked
about. That's what he talked about.
I'm Indian?
Yeah, he just talked about India and how awesome it was.
And
I was like, fine, because I like to talk to people about where they're from. And I told him, oh, we've got a really good Indian restaurant in my neighborhood.
He's like, no, you don't.
He all but spat on the like out the window and was like, first of all, they are not Indian. That is not Indian food. It's not authentic. There's nothing authentic about it. Like, he went on a whole tirade.
I guess he'd eaten there.
He'd eaten there. And they were from Bangladesh.
Wow.
To which I was like, why don't they just make Bangladeshi food? But anyway, I think this Thai Delicious, the E-Delicious machine might be interesting because I'd like to know, is the Thai food I'm eating authentic?
You know, the other thing is that, you know, India is a big country, and
but Bangladesh is not in that country.
Yeah. Right, I
know.
India is a big country, and what they make in northern India can taste different than. I mean,
right,
who's to say that it's
authentic? Then,
but
right,
the E-Delicious machine.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Which is authentic?
The E-Delicious machine is going to be dealing with regional specialties as well.
Okay.
So if someone says, like, you know, if you go into an Indian restaurant, they're like, we're serving food from Kerala, or we're serving food from, you know, another part of India. This E-Delicious machine for Thailand will be able to go in. If someone says, we're serving this kind of Thai, like East Thai style,
oh, okay.
You know what that is? Uh-huh. They will be able to say, yes, this is East Thai style, and this is not Brooklyn style. Because sometimes
you have to take this machine with you everywhere you go?
Well, not me, the embassy.
Okay.
Can you imagine if you show up like, look, I just have my friend here. I just put like a hat on him.
I have mixed feelings about this. I mean, I like the idea of like, striving to make something authentic.
Well, this is the robo-apocalypse we've been talking about.
I know, but on the other hand, yes, but it's not the it's not the machine that's upending everything.
Not
it's
yet.
The people.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
What if this machine starts to think that it is the, you know, the arbiter of taste?
Yeah, right.
That are they going to lick you to death?
Well, they already have a tongue out there that can do as much.
That too, yeah.
Well, my feeling about this is that as much as I like the idea of, you know, striving for authenticity, there's also such a thing as like homogenization of that is not good.
Right, right, right.
You know, like you like to have variety.
Yeah.
And you know what, maybe food here is a little different than there, but who says it's better or worse?
I guess the example I would think of is Chinese food. Like the regular Chinese takeout food, when I was taken to a student of mine who was from China, took me to like Chinatown to a real Chinese restaurant, I was actually upset.
Right, right. Yeah,
I was like, this isn't fucking China. Like, I don't know what this is. This is, you've done something here. You definitely made
No, that's Chinese food. No, the Chinese food that we know is American Chinese food.
Yeah, so that's what they're saying. They're saying, like, don't go out there and tell people that this is Thai food when this is, like, Thai American food.
Yeah, and that's all they need to do. Yeah. Just say it's Thai American, which is fine.
Which is fine.
And then if it's real, you know, the culinary stuff from...
kind of petered out the sauce.
I ran out of steam.
The well, you know that Malaysian restaurant in Hoboken, Satay?
Yeah.
They get all, he's from Malaysia, mm-hmm. the owner, and they import all their spices.
That's what I'm talking about.
From Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. Like when I've tried to make Thai food and I went to a Thai food.
He goes there, for example.
I went to a Thai food supply place that's way downtown, and I made. Like, they told me how to make it. I had the recipe. I had all the stuff. It tasted completely different to the point where I was like, we've been had.
Really?
We have been had. Well, hold on. So, first of all, we'd like to thank you for coming in today. Those of you who are regular listeners may know Carlo DiCarlo from his work as an author.
Yes. Carlo, you are the author of the book.
Bear, Psychotherapy Stripped,
yes,
co-written
with
Dr.
Gunn.
Jacqueline Simon Gunn.
Yeah. Yes, and if listeners, if you haven't read it, please go out and get it. It's fantastic.
If you haven't read it, you are playing yourself.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks. I'm like, they were born 1 year old. That's creepy. Your wife must be an extraordinary
That's
woman.
That's got to be a painful childbirth.
They walked out.
Or at least crawled out.
Man.
That's awful. The doctor's like, okay, they got this one.
Listeners, you didn't see Carlo.
He just swam out.
He just swam. He put his hands to the sides of his face like, I came out. Opening the gate.
Okay. The canal.
Yeah. The canal, right.